Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? That's today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 5th. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick a timely issue facing the state or nation and two guests to debate it, welcoming your questions and points for them to discuss. And at the end of the hour, we'll open the lines to allow you to sound off. Plus, we put up an online poll for you to vote in at WPR.org/joy. This is also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Your calls on whether or not you think the state's gay marriage ban should be struck down are welcome at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin filed a federal lawsuit on Monday against the state's constitutional amendment that prohibits same-sex marriage, and one of our guests is here to tell us why. Let me welcome both of our guests. Larry Dupuis is legal director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, which filed the federal lawsuit to void the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And also with us is Austin Nimox. He is senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, where he litigates as a member of the Marriage Litigation Center. He is also the lead attorney in the challenge by Wisconsin Family Action against the state's domestic partnership registry. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I thank you both for being with us. Larry, since the ACLU of Wisconsin has filed this lawsuit, let's start with you. In your opening statement, why should Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage, established by this constitutional amendment passed by voters in 2006, be voided or struck down?
Well, Joy, the reason that the ban should be struck down is because basically it's unconstitutional. The United States Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, guarantees equal protection and due process rights that protect fundamental rights such as the right to marry. And what we're seeking here is nothing more than equal treatment, fair treatment for lesbian and gay couples who are excluded from marriage solely because of their sexual orientation. And the Supreme Court's jurisprudence since at least 1996 has been leading us toward the point where we can see that the equal dignity of persons requires that same-sex couples be treated in the same way as opposite-sex couples.
And Austin Nimox, why should Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban be upheld?
Well, this is not really about what you're alluding to is Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban. Let's remember that marriage in Wisconsin has always been defined as the union of one man and one woman. And the thing that the voters passed in 2006 did not change that. It actually took the question of marriage out of the hands of the judiciary. So the question really is, why is Wisconsin's time-held definition of marriage, the one that it's had since the beginning of its statehood, now all of a sudden unconstitutional, and when exactly did that happen? And nobody's really trying to answer that question. But the Supreme Court did that for us just this last June when it affirmed multiple times in an opinion striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that the states have the right to define marriage. The states control domestic relations, and some states have chosen to redefine marriage. Wisconsin has chosen to maintain its time-held definition of marriage to uphold the idea that moms and dads are important for children, and Wisconsinites have the right to make that decision. The Supreme Court has affirmed it's not unconstitutional, and so that's why we think that this lawsuit will fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, the constitutional amendment in Wisconsin, Larry Dupuis, defined marriage as being between a man and a woman. And what about that?
Well, obviously a majority, we don't put constitutional rights up to a majority vote. That's not how the United States Constitution works. It protects minorities from majoritarian animus, misunderstanding, fear. And if we put constitutional rights up to vote, we would still have separate but equal schools. We would still have a ban on interracial marriage. So this is, and what the Supreme Court said in Windsor was that states can regulate marriage so long as they do not regulate it in an unconstitutional manner. And the Supreme Court was equally clear that a bare desire to exclude a disfavored group from an institution is not a rational basis for excluding them from that institution. Marriage is extremely important to all families, and that includes families that are headed by same-sex couples. There are thousands of families with children in Wisconsin headed by same-sex couples. They deserve the same protections and the same rights and the same obligations, frankly, as different sex couples.
Hmm. Austin?
Well, I disagree with the interpretation of the Supreme Court opinion. The Supreme Court was very clear that states have the right to make a decision, and it's almost ridiculous that the Supreme Court would tell the states that you have a right to control this domestic policy, you have a right to make a decision, when you don't really have a right to make a decision. That's the argument that the ACLU is advancing, and that's clearly not the case. We know that the vast majority of Americans in American states still support marriages between one man and one woman, and the reason is simple. Because every child has a mother and a father, and we recognize that. And the idea of marriage is to try to bring together, as best as possible, the children that are born with the mom and dad who are responsible for their existence. We know from statistics produced by the federal government that over 99% of the children born in this country are born because of sex between men and women, that those children have a known mom and dad. And it's a good, it's a deep social good, and it promotes the dignity of every child to try to connect them as best as possible with the mom and dad who are responsible for their existence. Wisconsin has had that law, one man and one woman, since its statehood became a state in 1848. That has never changed, and the Supreme Court has affirmed that Wisconsinites have the right to make that decision. If they want to change it, they have the right to change it. If they want to maintain the idea that moms and dads are important to families and children, they also have that right.
Yeah. Just to clarify, it seems to me during the debate of this constitutional amendment that the state statute defined marriage as being between a husband and a wife, and the constitutional amendment made it clear that that would be a man and a woman, if that makes any difference. Does it, Larry?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Actually, the lawsuit challenges both the constitutional amendment and, to the extent that the state marriage statutes references to husband and wife require that couples be of different sexes, we challenge that as well. There is a provision in the Wisconsin statutes that says, as a matter of default, that gendered nouns and pronouns can be interchangeable. So there's an argument either way, but the lawsuit would take care of both.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Austin, starting with you. One of the four couples involved in the lawsuit filed on Monday mentions an episode in 2002 in which a woman was hospitalized, but her longtime partner couldn't make any medical decisions because they weren't married. There are other examples. How is this kind of situation constitutional?
Well, that's an unfortunate situation that I think the legislature can address without redefining marriage. I mean, if we have a problem with hospital visitation, if we have a problem with people being able to assist their loved ones in a hospital or make decisions, then I think that's something the legislature can address. But that situation can happen in all kinds of contexts. What about siblings who live together and are dependent upon each other for their existence? What the ACLU is asking for doesn't do anything if that situation happens for two siblings that live together. What about a granddaughter who lives with and takes care of her grandfather? What if that situation happens with that type of domestic relationship? What the ACLU is asking for does nothing there. We have all kinds of family relationships in our society, and I think all of them can be considered. But what we don't need to do is redefine marriage just for same-sex couples in order to alleviate issues with hospital visitation or any specific things that I think we can address specifically as a society. And that's really the big problem here. And again, the ACLU will not tell us when marriage has all of a sudden become unconstitutional. It's been constitutional from the beginning of this country. It's been constitutional from the beginning of Wisconsin statehood in 1848. And now, for some reason, it's unconstitutional. And I think a lot of Wisconsinites are going to want to know, when exactly did that happen? When did that transformation occur that marriage, this time-held, cherished institution, has now overnight become unconstitutional?
Larry?
The same question was asked by people in 1954 when Brown versus Board of Education held that separate but equal was not equal. The same question was asked in when Loving versus Virginia was decided and the United States Supreme Court held that the Equal Protection Clause prohibited states from banning interracial marriage. The Constitution has probably always forbidden this, properly understood. And we're not seeking special treatment for same-sex couples. We are seeking equal treatment for same-sex couples and their families.
Now, Larry, Wisconsin has a domestic partner registry, though under challenge, that gives same-sex couples some of the rights of married heterosexual couples. Isn't this designed to help bring about some of that equal treatment that that you want?
Yeah, it is a limited step toward treatment, but again, it's treating same-sex couples as second-class citizens, no matter how you slice it. The ban on marriage prohibits not only marriage, but it prohibits anything substantially similar, which is essentially the understanding that the voters were given was that civil unions, full civil unions like California had and Vermont had, would also be banned. So there's this very specific intention to exclude same-sex couples from the basic recognition and this fundamental recognition of what it means to be a family, to exclude same-sex couples and their families from that recognition from the state in which they live, in which they work, in which they love, in which they raise their families.
Austin.
Well, when the voters went to the polls in 2006, they enacted a provision that maintained Wisconsin's, the only definition of marriage it's ever known, and at the same time authorized the legislature to make provisions for other domestic units so long as it didn't make those domestic units marriage-like. So the voters authorized the legislature to be able to enact a benefit scheme to benefit not just same-sex couples, but also perhaps, like I mentioned earlier, siblings who live together and depend on each other, or a granddaughter who lives with and provides for and helps a grandfather. The legislature is authorized to do that under the amendment passed by the Wisconsin voters. So the Wisconsin voters had in mind not just marriage, but obviously other domestic arrangements, and authorized the legislature through that amendment to make provisions for them, at the same time cherishing this time-held institution of marriage. And it should be given special recognition, as it always has, because as we understand, children who are born have a mom and a dad, and bringing men and women together to bind together and raise the children they are responsible for creating is a deep social good. This is not a negative or something that is unconstitutional as being suggested. It's actually nonsensical to say that it's constitutional to bring men and women together who create children so that they can raise and be with and support those children.
We need to take a break. We're past our break time, and then we will continue talking about today's big question. Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? Yes, no, why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with two guests from different political perspectives with different viewpoints on today's big question. We are asking, should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? The ACLU of Wisconsin filed a federal lawsuit on Monday asking that the state's ban be voided, and we're talking with Larry Dupuy, who is the legal director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, and Austin Nemox, who is senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, where he litigates as a member of the Marriage Litigation Center. We have full lines, so let's get some caller input in here. And our first caller is Bill in Shell Lake. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you, Joy?
Good. What is your point?
Well, first of all, I think the ban on same-sex marriages should be overturned. And my point is that it's clearly discriminatory against gays. It implicitly makes the assumption that gays choose to be the way they are. If it were the color of their skin or their gender, they would be they could not be discriminated against. But I think it's implicit in the ban that they choose to be gay. And I would just challenge anyone who thinks that gays choose to be gay to pinpoint a point in their lives where they had that decision to make and chose to be straight. I'm straight, but I don't feel I ever had that decision to make. I just am straight, and I think it's the same for gays. And therefore, I don't think they should be discriminated against.
All right. Austin, what about this is just discriminating against gays for something that they don't control?
Foremost, we need to recognize when marriage laws came into existence. And you know, we fought a civil war over racial discrimination, and we passed some amendments to the Constitution back in 1868 to prohibit illegal racial discrimination. I don't think anybody can credibly argue that back when we passed those amendments in 1868, we were thinking that they would be used to overturn the time-cherished institution of marriage. And I think the debate about whether you're born gay or not is an interesting debate, and I think if you want to have that discussion on that topic, you should bring together some people who identify themselves as gay and lesbian, also some ex-gays, as the ex-gay community continues to grow across these countries, and have that debate about who they are and how they feel and the experiences they had in their life. I think that would be an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm. Larry?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that that individuals who are gay and lesbian know that from very early age, and it's it's immutable in the sense that it cannot be changed. In fact, all of the major psychological and psychiatric professional organizations have condemned sexual orientation reparation therapy, so-called reparation therapy. And I agree with the caller. Bill is absolutely correct. This is really nothing but discrimination. It may not be based on some sort of hatred or animus, but it's clearly based on fear and fear of change. And one thing I've never understood about the arguments against extending marriage to same-sex couples is why it would make marriage any less attractive to different-sex couples. Different-sex couples will still be able to be married. The ACLU is not challenging that, is not trying to undermine that in any way. Traditional marriage will continue. Traditional marriage, I believe, I'm in a 27-year traditional marriage, will be enriched by the opening of the institution to other loving and committed couples and families. And I think all of us should welcome that.
Austin?
Well, I think we heard some of the same arguments about changing the institution of marriage back in the late 60s and early 70s when we started the era of no-fault divorce. And that by allowing adults to more freely be able to divorce and come in and out of marriage when they want to, everybody would be happier. And now we know from a generation plus of experience that that wasn't the case. The social costs associated with divorce and broken families have skyrocketed. We spend over $100 billion a year in this country on broken families. The children who went through or the products of broken homes have scars associated with that. So we can't sit here and say that changing marriage, experimenting with marriage, doesn't have social consequences. Recent history has shown us that it does. And so if individuals in Wisconsin or elsewhere are concerned about what same-sex marriage may bring to marriage, I think that's an understandable concern given recent history.
Let me bring in one more caller before a news break. Matt in Oshkosh.
Yes, I'm in favor of keeping the constitutional amendment as written. And all I really wanted to say was I am really growing tired of the gay community just constantly over everything you can imagine, pushing themselves into our face. I am perfectly willing to just live and let live, but I am. The Olympics is about gay people. You watch the news, you'll see five things about gay people. I am tired of it.
Yeah.
Live your life. Go live your life. I'm perfectly willing to accept you the way you are, but stop this.
Well, all right. Well, because we just have a minute, let's get Larry Dupuis to react to that.
If lesbian and gay couples are permitted to marry, you won't be required to go to their weddings. I don't, you know, the culture changes as the culture changes, and it's unfortunate. I think change often does make people uneasy. It makes people fearful. There was a lot of fear when schools were integrated. There was a lot of fear when the women's movement allowed women to be in the workplace. And immigration causes people a certain degree of discomfort. Discomfort is part of change. I think our country has become a better country over time by including people, by becoming more diverse, and by celebrating diversity. And I think there is always a period in which novelty is uncomfortable for people, but change is part of our country.
We need to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue discussing and debating today's big question. Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you have a point or a question that you would like our two guests to debate, at the end of the hour, we'll give you an opportunity to sound off on today's big question. We are talking with Larry Dupuis from the ACLU of Wisconsin and Austin Nemox of the Alliance Defending Freedom. The news is next. The ACLU of Wisconsin filed a federal lawsuit on Monday against the state's same-sex marriage ban, asking that the state constitutional amendment that defines marriage as being only between a man and a woman be voided, saying this violates the rights of same-sex couples. Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday, February the 5th. We have with us a guest from the ACLU of Wisconsin and an attorney with the Marriage Litigation Center discussing and debating this legal challenge and whether or not it is time to allow same-sex couples to marry in Wisconsin. And we welcome your questions and your thoughts, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Larry Dupuis, legal director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, and Austin Nemox, who is senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, where he litigates as a member of the Marriage Litigation Center. He is also the lead attorney in the challenge by Wisconsin's Family Action against the state's Domestic Partnership Registry. Lots of callers and Facebook comments and emails. Let's go to John in Washington, D.C. next. Hello, John.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I just felt compelled to call in because Mr. Nemox has been saying some pretty wild factual distortions that I just wanted to correct the record on. There was a claim made a little while ago that the majority around the country oppose same-sex marriage, and that, you know, that may have been true in 2004 and 2006 when states like Wisconsin passed these marriage discrimination amendments, but that is no longer true. Polls since probably 2011 or 2012 have consistently shown that a majority of Americans support the freedom to marry. So there's that item that needs to be corrected. The second item is the claim that that studies show kids need a mom and a dad. Actually, the sociological consensus is that the gender of the parents does not matter. It's the number of the parents. The only study to the contrary was a right-wing produced sham study by a researcher named Mark Regneris that the American Sociological Association completely repudiated and said was baseless, and the study's own auditor calls it a word that we can't repeat on the air. Finally, this idea that sexual orientation is a chosen thing and that ex-gays should be interviewed for debate. The so-called ex-gay idea is actually a myth. In fact, the country's foremost quote-unquote ex-gay organization shut down last year, and the head of the organization is a man named Alan Chambers, and he admitted that people don't change their sexual orientation. They tried to stage an ex-gay pride event here in D.C. last year, and literally something like 10 or 12 people showed up. So there really is no such thing as ex-gays.
John, I'm sorry. I thank you for giving us three big areas to discuss, but we'll have to get some response from both of our guests. Let's start with you, Austin. I'd like to talk about first the polling on marriage and or same-sex marriage. John points out that attitudes are changing.
Well, that very well may be the case, but we don't make laws because of what pop poll an organization or a news organization may have from day in and day out. We all know that the only polls that matter are the ones that happen on election day. And the simple fact of the matter is that an overwhelming majority of the states in this country have made a conscious decision to maintain marriage as the union of one man and one woman. That's the fact. And if citizens want to make a change to that, we have a democratic process that they can engage in to change it. The same is available in Wisconsin. And Wisconsinites have the right to make that change if they want to, but they actually consciously chose to engage in a debate about marriage back in 2006, spend millions of dollars, and have a statewide vote. And they made a decision as a state, and I resonate with the prior caller's frustration that Wisconsinites made a collective decision as a state just a few years ago, and now they're having to debate this all over again.
Mm-hmm. Larry, on that point first.
Yeah, well, even in Wisconsin, I would echo what John said, the caller from D.C. There was a recent poll by Marquette University Law School, not a pop poll, a pretty well-respected poll by a very well-respected pollster that showed a solid majority now favors extending marriage equality to same-sex couples in Wisconsin. So that's absolutely true. In fact, I agree pretty much with everything that John said. Every major organization. Of child welfare organization, medical pediatric organization, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychological Association, the Child Welfare League, all have come out in favor of extending same-sex marriage to same-sex couples because what is important for children is having two loving parents, not the gender of those parents. What matters is the quality of the parenting, not the identity of the parents.
Well, on that point, Austin, it's not harmful to children if gay couples are raising them?
Well, here's the point I made earlier, because the caller that called in distorted that point, is that every child has a mother and a father. That's a fact. And as much as they would like to change that fact, they can't. That is a fact. Every child has a mother and a father. And the argument that the caller from Washington, D.C., who's obviously a same-sex marriage activist, is trying to make is telling every mother in the state of Wisconsin that they don't matter to their children, that if you took her away and just replaced her with a man, they would make no impact in the lives of her children. And making that same exact argument to every father, and it should be offensive to every mother and father to be told that you don't make a difference as a father or as a man or as a mother or as a woman in the lives of your children. We know from experience and intuition that that's absolutely false, and every mother and father in the state of Wisconsin understands that to be the case, that we do make differences, that the sexes are not fungible, as the Supreme Court has said, that men and women are inherently different. And marriage celebrates the diversity of the human race, men and women, how we've always been, by bringing them together for a deep social good. And for arguments to be made to say that one sex or the other doesn't matter in the lives of children is really outlandish to see that argument would be made with regard to marriage and children.
Larry?
I will try to be respectfully dissenting. I'm a male, obviously. I have two children who have done very well for themselves. They're now out of college. And I have many friends who are same-sex couples whose children went to school with my children. they had only those children had two mothers or they had two fathers. Those children have done just as well as my children. They're just as well adjusted. There is, I find it deeply offensive to suggest that a couple who adopts a child is somehow damaging that child because the biological mother is not involved. That's exact. That's there is absolutely no proof to that. All of the scientific studies have shown that children adopted early in life do just as well as children raised by their biological parents, and the sexes of the parents makes no difference.
Yeah. Because we are short on time, just very briefly, Austin, on our caller's point, who was the nature versus nurture argument that this is genetic, not a choice.
Well, again, my response hasn't changed on that. There are growing ex-gay communities in this country all around. I know several of them. They exist, and you can't deny the fact of individuals who claim an ex-gay status. And if you want to have a debate about the immutability of sexual behavior, I think that you should have a debate with individuals who identify themselves as gay and lesbian and individuals who identify themselves as gay and talk about it, because I think that those are the most qualified individuals to discuss that very interesting topic and talk about it. And let's be really clear here. We're not talking about adoption. When we have kids who are up for adoption, they've been separated from the mother and father who brought them into this world, and that's unfortunate. And I think it's wonderful when individuals reach out to try to bring into their homes and take care of those children. What we're talking about with marriage is we're talking about when children are born. We know that they have a mom and a dad. And are we going to encourage at that moment the mother and father to come together to raise that child, or are we going to discourage that? Wisconsinites have made a choice. They put it in their constitution, and it's clearly constitutional under the U.S. Constitution.
You know, Andy on Facebook says, as much as I would love to see equal marriage rights for gays today, it is only a matter of time when the current batch of, his words, homophobic old white men in state legislatures will get replaced by a younger generation that is not foolishly scared by a majority or a major part of productive society. What's your response to that, Austin?
Well, it affirms the fact that we have a representative democracy in this country, and people have the right to elect the people who will represent them. They have a right to go to the ballot box and make decisions for themselves. That's what we have in a free country. And again, this is just repeating my points I've been making all along. If Wisconsinites want to change the definition of marriage, they can do that if they want to. But right now, they've made a decision, and it's a wise decision to promote both sexes, the diversity of men and women, and mothers and fathers in our family. That's not an unreasonable thing at all. Recognizing that kids have mothers and fathers, that's the decision that they've made, and they've made it since the beginning of their statehood. And the Supreme Court has affirmed that is constitutional for them to do.
Yeah. So, Larry Dupuis, why a lawsuit? Why not just another constitutional amendment? Amendment changing the definition of gay marriage, or somehow to take the current one off the books?
How long do we wait? Do we ask people in loving, committed relationships, raising children together already, to wait for fair treatment, for recognition of their loving relationships? Do we ask the legislature, this legislature in Wisconsin, which is very unlikely, to put that to the voters? Do we ask them to wait for two separate sessions of the legislature, two-year sessions of the legislature, and another vote? Or do we say the principles of equality embodied in our Constitution?
Yeah. There is another part of the... Go ahead.
I want to go back to a point that Mr. Nimitz made fairly clear finally. I've never understood why extending marriage to same-sex couples would somehow discourage. I was trying to figure out if that's really what he was saying, was that that would discourage opposite-sex couples from marrying. And he said that just now. That's like saying that men will no longer go to Augusta National to golf if women are allowed to golf at Augusta National. That's just exclusion for exclusion's sake. That is just discrimination against gays and lesbians. Simple.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
Because I don't know what he heard, but I didn't say that at all. I don't know where he got that
you
from.
Said,
I didn't make that point.
You said it would You said that allowing same-sex couples to marry would discourage different-sex couples from marrying. You said, do we want to encourage different-sex couples to marry?
And right. And if we have a policy
changing this,
that
it would
says
discourage that.
If we have a policy that says that mothers and fathers don't matter to families and their children, we are saying as a matter of our policy that they don't matter, and we are discouraging moms and dads from raising their children because we're saying that they don't matter. I don't think that has anything to do with the same-sex marriage. But this is a debate, and the point here is that this is a debate that Wisconsinites have had, and they should continue to have it. That's okay. What we don't do is file a lawsuit and take the debate away from the people and say, ask a single federal judge, which is what this lawsuit is designed to do, to overrule the voices of millions of Wisconsinites. If we want to have a debate as a society, let's continue to have a debate. That's why we have a process. But just because you don't like the result of the election, to circumvent the legislative process because you don't like how long it's going to take or you're not happy with the result, I think is unfair to the points in the debate I think that the Wisconsinites are allowed to have.
We have closing statements that we need to get to because we are just about out of time. And I'm going to ask you both to tell us what you think is going to happen. Austin Nimux, do you think that the Wisconsin constitutional amendment defining marriage will be voided?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, and I've never professed to have that, so I won't predict the outcome of any given lawsuit. What I do know and what I believe is that this particular lawsuit in Wisconsin or any of the others that are pending around the country will not be the end of this debate. And even if the Supreme Court were to weigh in and impose same-sex marriage on the entire country, that will certainly not be the end of the debate. We know that the Supreme Court tried to end the abortion debate in 1973, and if anything, it's only perpetuated that. And we know that now more Americans are pro-life than since the Roe v. Wade decision. And the point being is that Americans will continue to debate issues that are important to us. The courts don't decide issues for us. We do. And so I think these are important questions that are being raised about our families, about what's important in our society, about the needs of children. And Wisconsinites and Americans across the country will continue to debate these important topics well into the future, regardless of what happens with any lawsuit.
And Larry Dupuy, how do you see the courts treating your lawsuit?
Well, I think it's fairly clear where the trend is at this point in the courts. And I believe that the Wisconsin federal judiciary will see the compelling need for fair treatment, marriage equality, and the freedom to marry for same-sex couples in Wisconsin. And then I believe the federal judiciary in the courts of appeals will also see it. As Mr. Nimux indicated, I think this issue is likely headed to the Supreme Court in the next couple of terms, probably. And I agree that there will be a continuing debate, but that debate has already been happening in 17 states and the District of Columbia where same-sex couples are enjoying the freedom to marry. And those states show no signs of trying to go backwards. There has been no meaningful backlash. In fact, I think once people realize that lesbian and gay couples are just like you and me and deserve the same equal treatment in marriage, not just the benefits of marriage, but the obligations of marriage, the ties that marriage creates and helps foster, that people will see that this is the right thing to do, and we'll look back on this episode in our country's civil rights history as another important step forward, and I certainly hope that the courts assist in that process. But as one of the callers indicated, it is just a matter of time. This is going to be the law of the land one way or another.
Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. Larry Dupuy is legal director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, which filed a federal lawsuit to void the state's ban on same-sex marriage on Monday. And Austin Nimix is the senior legal counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, where he litigates as a member of the Marriage Litigation Center. He is also the lead attorney in the challenge by Wisconsin Family Action against the state's domestic partnership registry. Well, you've heard from both sides. Now it's time for you to sound off. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It is time now for the sound-off portion of our big question debate. Should Wisconsin's gay marriage ban be struck down? We give you 30 seconds to state your opinion and why. And our first caller is Jeff in Bloomer. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. My point is, if God made the wedding vows and God said, join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, then how can gays or lesbians ask for God's blessing when they're sinning? That's my point. Thank you.
All right, so I take it he says no, that Wisconsin's gay marriage ban should not be struck down. Dan in Menominee is with us. Whoa. Hey, Dan, what's going on? I don't know what that was, Dan, but we can't hear you. So let's go next to Katie in Madison. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I'm absolutely against the ban, against same-sex marriage. And the guest, Austin, repeatedly said that, you know, every child has a mother and a father, and that somehow gay marriage would matter. But I'm guessing that his argument is that, you know, this man and this woman, the parents, could come together and create a loving home. And I don't understand how two same-sex people wouldn't be able to do the same thing. They never have children by accident. Every gay couple who decides to have children, that's a choice. They make sure they're ready, and that's what they do. Forcing two heterosexual people to come together, you know, who have a child, I don't understand his point on that, but
I got to go, Katie, because we've got 30 seconds for everybody. Nicole in Green Bay. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I definitely think the ban should be lifted. There's basically no logical reason for it at all. Mr. Nimick kept bringing up moms and dads, and as a Catholic heterosexual married person, that makes me feel very invalidated because I don't have children. And it kind of implies that unless you're producing babies, your marriage is useless. And I don't think that was the point he was trying to get across, but he kind of was.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Mike in Onalaska. Hi, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, when I called in, I made a mistake. I'm for the ban, and I'll make this quick. Number one, marriage was instituted by God, period, not by the legal system. Two, civil unions are instituted by the courts. Three, marriage's main purpose is procreation, naturally. And four, God hates homosexuality, i.e. Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where the name Sodom came from.
Well, we have 30 seconds there for you, Mike, and we're out of time. Well, we had 2 for and 2 against Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban. You can continue voting online. We have this poll at WPR.org/joy. You can also find a link to it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, to Robin Cherry for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.